That was 1901 by Phoenix. Up next, we got Isambard by Declan McKenna. I'm Pat. This is Tufts 91.5 WMFO Medford here at Tufts. I'm joined here today with Milan, and he'll be joining us, and we'll be doing a few things. Milan, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Milan. I don't go to Tufts, but I have a lot of passion for music, and today our special is going to be music and the poetry associated with music and songwriting, and also poetry in general. And we've picked out a few poems that we'd like to read to you guys, and then we'll further discuss them.
Yeah, so like Milan said, we'll be doing a mix between the two. So we have about a half hour or so dedicated to it, but we'll alternate between the two. We also have our normal PSA that we'll be doing later on in the show. So for now, enjoy Declan McKenna's Isambard off the album, What Do You Think About Me? All right. Thank you, guys.
Isambard by Declan McKenna. And now we're going to transition to our poetry segment here. We've each picked out a poem that the other hasn't heard, and we're just going to read the poem and then talk about it, see how it makes us feel, and see what things we can pull out of it. So the poem I've chose is called The Years by Alex Dimitrov. and here we go. All the parties you spent watching the room from a balcony, where someone joined you to smoke, then returned. And how it turns out no one had the childhood they wanted, and how they tell you this, a little drunk, a little slant, and less time than it took to finish a cigarette, because sad things can't be explained. Behind the glass and inside, all your friends buzzed. You could feel the shape of their voices. You could tell from their eyes they were in some other place, 1999 or 2008 or last June. Of course, it's important to go to parties, to make life a dress or a drink or suede shoes someone wears in the rain. On the way home, in the car back, the night sky played its old tricks. The stars arranged themselves quietly. The person you thought of drove under them, away from the party, just like you, into the years.
All right, so that was The Years by Alex Dimitrov. So first, Milan, how did you come across this poem?
There's a collection of short stories published every year, or short poetry called, I think it's called The Best American Poems. And I think this was in, I want to say, the 2016 edition, 2018 edition, a different poem by Alex Dimitrov. And I really fell in love with his poetry. And I was perusing the internet, and not a lot of his poems are available online for free. But one of them that is The Years, which is available if anyone wants to read on the New Yorker website. And I just feel like this poem perfectly encapsulates how I feel at times. I don't think he was relating it to college, but being in college and getting to the later years of college and then, you know, having to graduate and stuff, this poem really reflects on all the things I liked about college and also that kind of transition period that we're entering now, where you don't know how things will be in the future, but you definitely miss the past and you have a deep longing for not only for your childhood, but also for things that happened so recently, like your first few years of college. And I think that the title plays into that a lot, The Years, just not any specific time period, but all the years.
Right, yeah. And one of my favorite lines, this is my first time hearing this poem being read, but one of my favorite lines that I took from it was, you could feel the shape of their voices, you could tell from their eyes they were in some other place. And that kind of plays into, like you just said, about reminiscing about the years you've had in college with your friends and knowing that you guys will go into different places and have different lives. And there's this sudden realization that you have where not everyone's really thinking the same thing, even though they're asking the same questions. And some people are, like, say, with friends, they're enjoying the moment, enjoying whatever you're doing, having fun. And others, at other points, others are just kind of taking it all in and maybe worried, maybe anxious about it. So it's kind of like all this combination of emotions that you could have. And at times you're like struck by them, and at others you forget about it even at all.
Going along with what Pat said, I think everyone's at a time in their life where it's hard to feel present. And I feel it's definitely something that I myself need to work on, but I'm sure other people as well, is just being present in the moment. Because you either look back and you say, this past time was so fun, I wish I could return to those times, or you look forward to the future and you say, okay, I'm gonna graduate college and move into an apartment with my friends, stuff like that. But you're never really appreciating the moment. And I know for myself in particular, there have been times where, looking back, I'd give anything to go back to those times and those nights with friends. But in the moment, I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think it would be special. So I think that and this poem in particular reflect on the fact that your moments right now are moments that you are most definitely going to look back on, whether it's in 10 years or 20 years or even in 2 years, and say, I wish I was back there. So it's just important to live in the moment. And I think the speaker of the poem, when they say all the first lines, all the parties you spent watching the room from a balcony. So the speaker's talking about this person, we don't know if it's a man or a woman, just looking on in the party, and they're watching the party. They're not present in the party. They're not talking to their friends. They're not really enjoying it. They're not even enjoying themselves. They're just they think back to their childhood. And then they look at their friends and they kind of assume that their friends are doing the same thing. They talk about their friends' eyes. And you say, you could tell from their eyes they were in some other place. Whether that's true or not, we don't know. That's just what the speaker of the poem is saying. But it goes back to that theme that everyone is not in the present. And I think what I took from this poem is that how important it is to live in the moments you're in and just appreciate it. Even the line where they say, walking in the rain with suede shoes. Obviously not an ideal situation, but those are the moments you look back on and you laugh and you say, remember that time I had that pair of shoes that you know, I loved, and they got soaking wet. And then what happens? You put them inside and they dry off. And I think it's just so important to live in the moment and appreciate everything, the good and the bad, whatever comes with it too.
All right. And Milan, could you introduce the next song that you have for us today?
Next song kind of fades into the topic of love and romance, and it's called Somebody Else by the 1975. I first heard this song a few years ago, and it's just, we'll play it here and see how you feel, but it's just an amazing song. It really hits all the spots.
I don't want
That was Somebody Else by the 1975 off the album. It's a long one. I like it when you sleep, for you are so beautiful, yet so unaware of it. So right now, you just heard the poem selection that Milan chose. Right now, I'll be choosing one by Fyodor Chuchev. And this is called Silentium. Here we go. Silentium. Speak not, lie hidden, and conceal the way you dream, the things you feel. Deep in your spirit, let them rise, akin to stars in crystal skies that set before the night is blurred. Delight in them and speak no word. How can a heart expression find? How should another know your mind? Will he discern what quickens you? A thought once uttered is untrue. Dimmed is the fountainhead when stirred. Drink at its source and speak no word. Live in your inner self alone. Within your soul, a world has grown. The magic of veiled thoughts that might be blinded by the outer light, drowned in the noise of day, unheard. Take in their song and speak no word.
I mean, off the bat, just I think the main theme of the poem is about not telling people things that you feel, your feelings, your dreams, things that mean a lot to you. And whether I agree with that or not is one thing, because I do think that the second you tell someone something good or something happy, for some reason maybe it has less of a chance of containing that meaning, because it's not a secret anymore. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, so I learned this poem. We had to memorize it in my class last year. It was about a lot of like Russian literature. And this is like a poem from the 19th century. It's by Chuchev, who was a famous poet at the time. And yeah, I agree with what you took from the meaning of it. I think it talks about more of a spiritual essence that words in your thoughts and mind have. But once you utter them, once you release them, once you tell another person or confide in them about this thought or idea or feeling that you have, it loses all of its magic. And it's something that I've actually personally, I agree with it, and we could talk about our own opinions on whether we see ourselves in the speaker of the poem. But I believe it to be true. I think that when you have thoughts, you can kind of like almost like phrase it in your head a certain way. And once even you set it down in writing or tell someone about it, you kind of can't get it out the same way. In that way, and every person has their own perspective, so once you tell someone about it, they'll quickly add their own interpretation to it. I think it's impossible for you to actually transfer whatever you're feeling, whatever you mean to say to another person without it being blurred in the process. So what do you think about that? Would you agree with it?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like you said, once you put, even if you put it in writing in your own, your notes, or you keep a journal or something, I think that it kind of does lose some meaning. But at the same time, if you keep it burred up inside of you, it's paradoxical, because it also kind of loses some meaning. You want anyone, when something good happens or they think of a new idea, or they, you know, they read something that makes them happy, they want to share it with someone else. But I guess it's about finding the balance and finding out not necessarily who to trust, but who you can share something with and have it retain as much meaning as possible.
Yeah, I would agree with that. One of my favorite lines in this is, live in your inner self alone, within your soul a world has grown. So it kind of, to get back to like the spirituality of it, it kind of does take the spiritual sense. It's as if you should kind of take refuge in yourself, live within your own body, and not be so quick to kind of try to reflect yourself outside, externally, out into the world. Because in you, picture all of the thoughts you've had every single day. You've had thousands of thoughts a day, every day for many years. So in you, kind of like this terrarium, this like almost like a plant inside of you with all of your feelings, all of your emotions. It's grown inside of you. And if you're quick to try to show everyone what's inside of you, it's difficult for you to kind of get your own individuality across, I would say. Or simply the poem's just saying like, yeah, sure, you have all these thoughts and it might be hard for you to express them to others, but you should be happy with with the fact that you can only understand yourself, and at the end of the day, it's like more of a, it's a personal thing that you should keep to yourself almost. But yeah, so that was Silentium by Chuchev. We're going to play a couple more songs just to give you a break from our voices, and then we're going to do a PSA, and get this, we're going to talk about a couple of poems that we made and try to get each other's thoughts on them. I'm sure we've heard of each other's poems before, but it's good to always look back, analyze them, and see what new meaning it could take form in, which is kind of ironic with the poem that I chose, but yeah, that's how life goes.
It is quite ironic. Just like, I think poems are some of the most personal, all are in generally, but it's a form of personal expression, and they can be really personal things. And I would almost argue that art is one of those things where sharing it could give stuff meaning, because as you'll see with the poems we've read so far, but also the poems we will plan to read, so many different meanings come from a poem. And so, you know, two people could write two of the exact same poem. Let's say they each write the same poem, both have completely different ideas behind it, and they show it to a third person and say, who's right? You know, whose poem, like, who has this certain meaning? And the third guy has a completely different meaning to the poem. So just, that's the thing with art. It gives stuff, whereas Silentium says that it's reading something to someone else or sharing it takes away meaning. I would argue that art gives stuff meaning, because sharing it lets other people put their own interpretation on it, put their own spin on it. It also inspires other people. You read a poem and you say, I love that poem. Or you saw a painting, you said, that is amazing, I want to do it. And you try and recreate it, and you don't recreate it exactly, but you come up with something else, a new form of art. So I think art is truly one of the most beautiful and pure things we have in this world. And I think preserving it and also creating it and encouraging other people to paint or to draw or to write poems, just try it, make music, just try doing it is the best thing. Now we have Maple Syrup by the Backstreet Lovers. Great summer tune, getting us in that mood for spring, turning to summer. School's almost over. Let's hear it.
Did it hurt when I kicked you to the curb? A sweater sitting in my room. I tried to wear it, but I knew that it would smell like you. I saw you dancing at the show tonight. Kicked you to the curb. Yes, I'll never learn. And I lied when I took you on a drive. And I said I'd never speak to her. I wish I would have kept my word.
Pleasure in the costume.
that was Pieces by Andrew Bell. Andrew Bell is an artist that I think most artists don't receive the support and appreciation that they get, just because there's so many millions of artists that many are going to fly under the radar. But Andrew Bell is one that, if you haven't heard of him before, definitely check out. He's got some amazing songs. That was Pieces. That was the first song I found by him a few years ago. And since then, he's released a lot of great work. When the End Comes is another great song for a recommendation. And just that song, it's just got that nice melody in the background. He's got a very calm voice, and that's another song that just makes you think. You can play that song anytime, in the morning, at night, at the beach. I think it's just a song for any occasion, and it's just got such a great vibe, so mellow, but also the words he's saying are so meaningful. So now we're going to have Pat. He's going to read an original poem here, and then we're going to discuss it.
All right, perfect. And if you're just tuning in now, we're doing sort of a poetry hour. I'm Pat. My usual set is Thursdays from 11 to noon. The Human Trap. I usually play electronica music, but we're trying something else different this time. And stay tuned, because my set will be going on during the summer as well. So I'll let you know if I have updates on that in the future. So yeah, for the first half, it's 7:36 now. For the first half of the set today, we went over a few poems that we liked, made by other people. We had a Dmitri poem, and we had one by Fyodor Chuchev. All right, so right now we're going to do one called original poem by me. I wrote a few months ago. This is from February. It's called Again, Again. All right. Why do you dance along your shadow and lie in wait for some nights when none can see inside your room? Why did you lie your lips against the wall for me to watch as you dream in faraway places? Finally, alone again. Here I am tonight, hearing your hardened breath, just laughing in particular. In the morning you will cry, begging for another night, to try to dance again, to dance me away again. So yeah, like I said, that was a poem I wrote in February. I'm going to get Milan's thoughts on it first, before I go over sort of my own meaning that I took from it when I wrote the poem.
Really great poem. I don't think I've heard that one before, so enjoyed it. I mean, off the bat, what I'm thinking of is it's being with someone for one night, you know, wherever that is, and then in the morning kind of knowing that you have to leave each other and go your separate ways. And I think that's especially in college and stuff, where you meet a lot of different people, and you know, sometimes it doesn't work out and sometimes it does, and sometimes I think you're either the speaker of this poem, who's kind of saying in the morning, that's it, or you're the person he's speaking to, who says in the morning, let's do this again tonight. And I think that dichotomy and just the contrasting views, and that, you know, most people have been in either shoe is really interesting. And I think you can get both sides from that poem, and you don't really know, there's no reasoning behind it. There's no reasoning why she wants to stay, and there's no reasoning why the speaker wants them to go. So I really enjoyed that, and I like the repetition at the end, the last two lines, to try to dance again, to dance me away again. It's almost like he's saying she tried to, you know, dance, and it leaves it up for interpretation if it was successful or not. Maybe for whatever reason the speaker doesn't want her to try again, even though she very well might be successful at kind of wooing him and stealing his heart. So let's hear Pat now and what he was thinking when he wrote it, and see how those line up. But I think that the main thing with poems is that, as we were saying before, his reason could be completely different than mine. He could have a completely different view, and it's really nuanced in the fact that that's how poetry works. There's no right or wrong. Everyone can take away their completely own meanings from the poems, and that's that. So let's hear what he says.
Right, so I think the best approach for this one, really quickly, is to kind of break it down into different parts. So again, the title of the poem is Again, Again. And yeah, like just like Milan said, it's kind of this repeating cycle that you're in. You're either the speaker, or you're either the person that the speaker is speaking about. And that tends to be a never-ending cycle that people seem to universally go across. So the first few lines, why do you dance along your shadow and lie in wait for some nights when none can see inside your room? So the speaker is kind of pondering to the person he's speaking about and asking why, what are these behaviors that she or he might be doing, and trying to crawl inside of their mind to get a glimpse into what they're, how they're really feeling, what they're really thinking. And there's just, at the end of the day, there's just certain things that you come, certain people that you come across where you just really can't read them. The second stanza, why did you lie your lips against the wall for me to watch as you dream in faraway places, finally alone again? So here the speaker is, he gets the glimpse that, that this person doesn't want to be where they are in life. They don't want to be lying there, their lips against the wall, almost trying to eat their way out into this through this wall, into this new third place. Here I am tonight, hearing your hardened breath, just laughing in particular. In the morning, you will cry, begging for another night to try to dance again, to dance me away again. And yeah, this is kind of the life that the speaker is going through, where they're an observer, a spectator in other people's lives, and they spend their time kind of just rattling their brain about, like, what should I have done, what could I do, and why are they reacting this way. And there's this, like Milan said, there's this juxtaposition between in the night, just laughing in particular, in the morning, crying, this kind of this contrast between the two, this flip-flop, and it's just, it really, the theme of the poem is just this cycle of just never being able to understand others and never being able to truly know why they do the things they do, pretty much. All right, so right now we're going to segue into a PSA. I hope you enjoyed that poem. We like to make a lot of poems, especially in our free time, which we're going to get a lot of this summer. So we'd love to share them soon. Right up next after this, we have Milan, who will be kind of reciting his own original poem. And then we'll do the same thing where I get to analyze it. I am not sure whether I've heard of it before, but even if I have, it's always good, like I said, to get a new perspective on it, which happens pretty much every single time you read a poem. So it's always very, really valuable to revisit old poems. Even if you are the writer, you can get new themes and see what kind of meanings that you might have had in the back of your mind when you first wrote them, and they're now coming, they're becoming clear. But yeah, we have a PSA coming up. Let's just play one song before it. This is Capital City's Safe and Sound. I'm sure you've heard of this song. It's very popular, and it's great in every situation. And I think it's perfect for the theme of this set today. So here you go, Safe and Sound. I hope you enjoy. Yeah, and we'll be back very shortly.
We'll be right back. could show you what you wanna see and take you where you wanna be. You could be my luck. Even if the sky is falling down, I know that we'll be safe and sound.
Unfortunately, we will not be able to do a formal PSA today due to circumstances under our control, but one that I always do is to wear your seatbelt when driving, because pedestrian safety and the safety of all your passengers in your vehicle is very important. So be aware and make sure to seatbelt. It's the law in Massachusetts as well, and we all want to be good law abiders, so please buckle your seatbelt. Right now, we have a poem by Milan, and he'll be reciting it. Milan, do you want to give us a short introduction to it before launch right in?
This is a poem I wrote called The Damned. It's kind of just a reflection of where my mind was at the time. I want to say this was written maybe in early January this year, so a few months ago. And I'll explain a little bit more about the poem after and stuff, but it's just kind of, it has to do with the themes we thought of at the beginning with the years, about self-reflection and being present and being happy in the moment. So here it is, The Damned. Brick tenements, things are fine. Everyone sleeps, and in the morning, everyone eats. There is nothing beautiful about any of it. And yet, I am in love with the ideas surrounding the stops and starts of life. That I won't be able to return, and that you might not either. Or the strife when we yell what we don't mean and whisper the truth, which you insist you know. Well, tell me then, if you think you know. Throw me in a back alley with the person I am, the man I haven't become yet, and the boy I used to be. And tell me who I'd kill first, and where I'd bury him. Where? Where? So, I'll let Pat, you know, give his insight, and then I'll kind of, I won't necessarily tell you guys what it means, but more of what I was thinking at the time I wrote it and what was going through my head, and then I'll let you extract the meaning from that.
All right, so that was The Damned, original poem by Milan here. And I do believe I read this poem a few weeks ago or a while back. But yeah, this is great that I'm getting a new, fresh listen to this. So what I can take from this poem right off the bat, just hearing it through, this is sort of kind of a flip of what I was trying to get at my poem, where this is the speaker under kind of challenging the person he's speaking to, really saying, no one will really ever know me, and you've made all these assumptions of me, and there's a lot to me that go beyond what I say or what I do that you'll never really get at. And kind of the speaker is kind of discarded at the end of the poem, so it's a bit pessimistic. Yeah, he's trying to talk. There's these conflicts that happen between two people, and there's never really a true way for either one of them to really understand one another. And there's never really the right way to even go about trying to understand each other. And in situations, in conflicts, in arguments, in fights, there's always this wanting to be the winner out of it. Wanting to feel like, oh, I understand your perspective, I understand who you are, I know what you're going to say, I know what you're going to do. And if you just discard someone based off of fights, based off arguments, things like that, it's sort of a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation, which gets at kind of almost like the title of the poem, where you can try to open yourself up to someone, you could close them off from you. Either way, you'll you run the risk of being discarded because you'll never really be understood by them. So that's what I got from the poem. My favorite line right off the bat from the poem that my ears kind of perked up when I listened was, throw me in the back alley with the person I am, the man I haven't become yet, and the boy I used to be. All right.
Hey, Pat, I really appreciate that analysis. As you were saying, just to jump right into it, I guess we'll start with the end. At that last part, it's always easy in a relationship to kind of blame someone else, and then also that person, when they receive the blame, doesn't even accept it, blames another someone else or another version of themselves. So the speaker in this poem, in some sort of argument, some sort of kind of disagreements, and we don't know really with who, but he's challenging them. He's saying, if you think you know me, tell me who I'd kill. And he's not accepting the blame here. He's not accepting the blame for whatever problems are going on. He's saying it's the man he is now, the person he can become in the future, and the boy he used to be. And I think it's a culmination of these three things that lead to all the problems of this character in particular. Whatever's going on in his life right now, it's not just him in the present moment. It's the person he wants to be one day and the person he was and all the memories he has. And so he's kind of saying, I'm not accepting the full blame. There's these other parts to me that you know, are at fault. And I think, I'm not going to say that this scene in particular inspired this line, but I've rewatched recently one of my favorite movies, Fight Club, and it's just that kind of like anger that they have where they're punching each other and beating each other up, and the whole founding of the Fight Club, and it's kind of to get to escape from their daily lives and materialism and their jobs and even their families. And I think that the ending where he's going in a back alley with these three versions of himself, which is obviously something that couldn't happen in this real world, but just the idea of it, I definitely think it makes me wonder, and also other people wonder, who's the most to blame for the problems in your life? Is it the person you are now? Are you in the worst position you've ever been right now? Or is it your upbringing? Is it your childhood? You know, is it the things you thought as a kid? Or is it also this kind of always haunting shadow of the future of yourself and the future version that you hope to be in? And that's the person that has the wants and dreams that you aspire to achieve, kind of always there, always saying, you know, do better. If you want to get to this path that leads to me, you need to do this and this and this. And I think some people let that get the better of them, and they, as we talked about in the poem we first read by Alex Dimitrov, the years, they don't live in the present because they're so focused on this future version of himself, or they're so focused on their past and what went wrong there, or what they could have done differently. And I think you need to live in the present here. So if I had to answer for the speaker in this poem, I would almost say, you, it's the person you are now that's the problem, that's the blame, because that's the one that can fix what's going on, that can make an impact on the future. The person in the past, disregard them. As for the rest of the poem, I think the brick tenements line was kind of a pessimistic way of looking at college life in particular, and it doesn't reflect my feelings at all, but it's just a way of thinking of, you see many of these more urban schools, you see these big brick buildings or these big cement buildings that are the dorms. And I think so many great things go on in there and so many great memories. But the speaker of this poem thinks differently, and just, you know, everyone eats and everyone sleeps. There's nothing beautiful about any of it, which I as I mentioned before, and as I still think so much of, there's so much beauty in it. And so we're running a little short on time right now. We hope you enjoyed our poetry segment. This isn't something we usually do on this radio hour, but I think listening to music is great, and if we can find a way to combine it with poetry, I think that's awesome too, and I encourage everyone listening to read some poetry tonight. We are going to end with one of our favorite songs together, which is Everlong by the Foo Fighters. So these are my closing remarks. Thank you so much for listening, and I'm going to pass it over to Pat to say a few words before we play that song.
All right, and if you're just joining in now, it is the end of our set, but this is 91.5 WMFO Tufts in Medford. I hope you enjoyed as well. I love poems. I love making poems. I love listening to poems. I love music, and I love playing music for you guys. So we have Everlong by Foo Fighters. I hope you have enjoyed the hour. My regular set is, again, Thursdays from 11 to 12, and I want to do more things like this. I feel like Milan would agree. I think it's really fun just getting our thoughts out in the air, reminiscing about poems that we've written before and just getting each other's thoughts on them. I feel like we don't do that often. Yeah, so we have one more song for you guys. And yeah, it should be the end of our set for today. I hope you guys enjoyed once again. This is Everlong by The Foo Fighters.